Hello and welcome back to episode 4. We are so excited that you're back with us again this week. So today's podcast is WTF Should I Eat? And I heard this recently from Dr. Mark Hyman and I said, yes, that is completely the problem. What in the world should we eat? And a lot of people ask us about what diet we conform to at Healthy Kids Inc. or what diet our recipes conform to. Are we paleo, vegetarian, low fat, no fat, Dean Ornish, Atkins? And truthfully, it all kind of drives me nuts sometimes. Because one day kale is king and the next day a study is released where too much kale is bad for you. Why does it have to be so complicated? And what in the world is this teaching us and teaching our kids about food? So here's my mantra about food, and we conform to this with our family and for Healthy Kids Inc. too. We eat for our why. You know, my why for healthy eating and the reason that I do it, it's for brain power and it's for energy. And the reason is because I spent the first 35 years of my life sleeping a lot. And for anybody on this podcast who happened to grow up with me or even happened to have attended a slumber party with me, you will know this and are probably chuckling right now because I hated slumber parties. I couldn't wait to go to sleep. The thought of staying up all night was the worst thought in the world. I slept a lot. And it really wasn't until, you know, even just a couple of years ago that I really realized what was making me so tired. And it was, for me, it was gluten. So once I removed gluten, everything changed for me. And I now am able to increase my brain power, increase my energy. I don't do it for weight loss. That's not sustainable enough for me. It's not a big enough driver. But why would our kids eat healthy? Because our kids don't care about cholesterol. They don't care about blood pressure. The truth is they care about being smarter, stronger, and faster. I have two boys, and being stronger and faster, it's their motivation. And we talk a lot about food and sports with them as a way that, you know, and we use that as a way to fuel them up properly for games. And I'll share with you a little story recently that happened that was just terrible. So last week, my son was playing in a basketball tournament and it was an evening tournament. And truly just time got away from us throughout the day. And we looked at the clock and we said, oh my gosh, you know, the tournament's coming up. We weren't prepared for dinner. We just got caught up in our work. And so we had to quickly see what we could come up with in about 15 minutes. And what we ended up serving him was boxed macaroni and cheese and leftover broccoli. And honestly, I'm just horrified. For one, I don't know why I bought the mac and cheese. What was I thinking? I regretted that. And I remember why I bought it. I said, oh, you know, it'll just be there for one of those standby meals if we need it. And that happened to be one of those nights. So it was a very quick meal, but it was so bad. It was terrible. So that's all that he had for dinner. And he got out on the court and he was dazed. He had no aggression. He had no speed. He was so lethargic. And so we're going to cover this in more in future podcasts about kids and fueling them up. But I totally messed up. And it showed in his game. So he gets it and he understands why we eat healthy simply for that reason, to make them smarter, stronger, faster. My little one eats for more health reasons, though, and specifically for constipation and focus. And so we find that those are very related. So when he's constipated or when we're battling this issue, it really hurts with his focus and his mental clarity and just his attention span in general. So really for us, you know, we focus on him for more health reasons. You know, my mom suffered from fibromyalgia for 30 plus years. When she changed what she ate, she healed her body. That was her why. So we all have a different why for healthy eating, and I find that the one that rarely ever sticks long term is weight. It's just not a sustainable reason. And you know, I use the word diet a lot, and I have to be careful because diet means two things. You know, you have the diet, which are just the kind of foods that a person habitually eats. It's an animal's diet. It's a vegetarian's diet. And then you have diet, which is the act of restricting oneself, you know, from food. We're either trying to lose weight or for medical reasons. And that's the diet that most people talk about. But the problem is that we have spent so much time focusing on restricting ourselves and what we take out. We spent the last 30 years taking out. You know, we took out fat. We took fat out of everything. And then we made everything low fat. Well, as you know, when you take something out, you gotta replace it with something. So they replaced it with sugar and all these other harmful ingredients, which have got us into the mess that we're in now. And then we took out sugar from everything and everything became sugar-free. Well, if you take out the sugar, you gotta replace it with something sweet. So generally, it's an artificial sweetener. It's a chemical, which does even more harm to our body. all of this happened because we were focusing on what we were taking out and not what we were putting in. We stopped eating for nutrients. And we've talked about this before, that on a national average, our children are only getting about one fruit or vegetable a day as a result of it. And adults, we're not too far off from that either. We stopped eating for nutrients. So as we talk about WTF should I eat, one of the biggest lessons that I put into play is not focusing on what we take out, but what we put in. And you might be surprised that one of the most important things that we can put into our body is fat. You know, the benefits of eating good fat, they support many of our whys. You know, our brain is made up of 60% fat. It needs fat. Our cells are made up of fat. They need good fat. Good fats fuel our brain, our cells, and they even help us lose weight because they make us feel like we are full. So here's an example, and I've used this a couple of times before, but you know, we used to think in our family that we were feeding our kids the right foods for breakfast. You know, we would do Cheerios, plain Cheerios, nothing sugary, nothing like that. It was plain Cheerios and low-fat milk. Well, guess what happened every time we did that? Our kids were starving in 1 hour. And now looking back, it makes me feel terrible because very likely by the time they got to school and started their first class, they would be starving and have to wait until snack for the next meal. You know, and so they had no fat to satiate them, so they were starving. So we have since changed up our breakfast now, and now we look for items that will hold them over a little bit longer. And so we have personally found in our house that if we start with maybe a half of a gluten-free bagel, we put a little bit of grass-fed butter on top of it. You know, we use a pasture-raised egg that's cooked in ghee, maybe a half of a slice of cheese on top and a little piece of meat on top. It totally changes their morning, and it's a great way for them to start the day. Now, yes, that's a lot of extra work in our morning routine, but it's worth it for me to know that they're not starving by 8 o'clock a.m. by the time they get to school. So for us, we actually go through a lot of eggs every week, like 2.5 dozen eggs every week. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, eggs lead to cholesterol. We shouldn't eat eggs. But the science is changing and the research is proving otherwise, that those thoughts that we had, that mindset that we had, you know, in the 80s and 90s and even early 2000s is changing. So if you believe that, take a look at what that science and the research is proving, that that's not the case. But I'm not talking about crappy $1 carton eggs or margarine. I'm talking about true pasture-raised eggs where the chickens are not confined to cages, you know, where they're able to roam, because that's the eggs that have the most nutrients. That's the eggs that are best for our brains. And the same for butter. We're not talking about margarine. Have you ever looked on the back of the margarine ingredients and all the crap that's in margarine? No, we're talking about good grass-fed butter. And that's really important. Those are good fats for our brain. I just listened to this amazing online summit. It was called the Fat Summit. And it was a combination of 30 interviews with the leading physicians and researchers and industry leaders about fat. So I thought I would spare you from 30 hours of listening to that and just give you a couple of takeaways from all of those interviews. And it was really, really interesting and many schools of thought. But many of the similarities, and they all pretty much agreed on this, is that the fat that we eat isn't the same fat as the fat on our body. You know, we've spent so many years being scared of fat and not eating it because of that, but they're not the same fat. So we've got to get our minds away from being scared of fat. And I'm talking about the good fat. Counting calories is not the right strategy. And we may see some short-term effects if you restrict your calories. Oh, I'm going to go down to 1,200 calories or a 2,000 calorie diet. But it's not a sustainable solution. And remember, a calorie is not a calorie. 100 calories of cookies or 100 calories of vegetables are very different. And the way they are handled and treated in your body is very different. So another one is, you know, depriving our bodies of fat is not healthy. And I heard this great study about monkeys, and I have since shared this study so many times because it's perfect. The study actually came out of North Carolina, and the study was putting monkeys on 3 different diets. So the first one was the monkeys in a high-fat diet, which would be their diet as if they were in the wild. So the monkeys are put on a high-fat diet. Another group of monkeys was put on a low-fat diet. The third group of monkeys were put on a no-fat diet. So the monkeys on their full-fat, natural environment habitat diet were perfectly normal monkeys, interacted perfectly, there were no issues. The monkeys that were on the low-fat diet started to get a little snippy with each other. They started to fight. They got a little aggressive. And they even started to show some behavioral signs and even depression. And I point that out because how many of you have been around others in your family or at work who go on a low-fat diet or go on a diet and try to calorie restrict, and how grumpy do they get? They're irritable. It's the worst. And you're irritable and all you want to do is eat something and it just makes you angry, right? Well, these monkeys had the same reaction. Then they went, the monkeys, on a no-fat diet. The no-fat diet, where they took out zero, they had no fat, made them so aggressive and so angry that one monkey committed murder. That's how bad it was. That's how bad it is when we deprive our bodies of the good, healthy fats that it needs. It messes everything up. So I say that, but it doesn't mean go out and eat any kind of fat, that we can go out and eat that big juicy burger and we can stop watching what we eat and we can eat fast food all the time. No, 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 that's not what it means. It means let's go back to eating good fats like raw nuts, not even roasted nuts where they're roasted in oils. I mean, just raw nuts, coconut oil, extra virgin olive oil, your eggs, your avocados, your grass-fed meats where they have the good healthy nutrients, your grass-fed butter, and even ghee. And ghee is spelled G-H-E-E if you haven't heard of ghee before. But, you know, ghee is actually made from real butter. It's where you take real butter and you melt it down. And it's what's left after you take the water and the milk solids out of the butter. It's actually a healthier fat because the casein and the lactose are removed, so it's easier for our bodies to digest, which is why some can't tolerate dairy. So you can actually make it at home. It's very easy to make, or you can simply buy it. But those are good examples of good, healthy fats that our body needs. And outside of fats, lots and lots of vegetables, eating as close to nature as we can. But there are still some debatable topics among the experts, and that is becoming glaringly obvious, especially as you listen to 30 hours of the summit. And there are some, so the debatable topics are around meat and dairy. You know, some just don't think dairy is needed. And we as a society, we worry so much about calcium that we feel like our kids need to have the calcium that's really important for their strong bones. But you know, the truth is though, that cows have really strong bones, and they don't drink their own milk. They just get it from eating grass. So there's a school of thought that says, listen, there are a lot of other ways, a lot of other sources of calcium, and it's not really necessary that you get it from milk, because a lot of people have concerns over the quality of milk and the processing of dairy in general. So that's one item. And then as for meat, you know, some researchers are even recommending that you consume meat, obviously it has to be good quality meat, but you use it more as a condiment. In terms of consumption, it becomes a smaller part of your meal. So again, those are items that are very debatable, not conclusive evidence. We'll still start to see more and more of that come out over the coming years. But that's some of the general consistencies that we heard from this summit. We so often look for that exact blueprint, that tell me how to eat. And that's why people like diets like Atkins, Paleo, Low Fat, Dean Ornish, Vegetarian, Vegan, and the Daniel Plan. But you know, sometimes it's not even the diet that works. Sometimes it's just simply that we've removed all the garbage from our diet, which is going to make any approach work in the short run. So here's what's worked for us and for families in our community in terms of WTF do I eat? So step one is just cook at home. You know, if you cook at home, you're already getting better quality food. You can start to control the quality of your ingredients. You can use higher quality extra virgin olive oils. You can use coconut oils instead of having to rely on restaurant oils like soybean oils and all of those oils that are not good for us. You know, you begin step two then to cook with real ingredients. So cooking at home is step one, but we've also got to make sure that we transition away from that heat and serve food or those frozen chicken nuggets that have all the additives or that crazy mac and cheese that I just gave into that I'm officially now done with. You know, but use the meal planner to plan your meals. And if you don't eat pasta, well, then substitute it with something else. You know, our meals are very adaptable. And also try to get away from the boxed foods that contain so much added sugar and added ingredients. You know, those things that have been made for us in advance, they run the risk of so many extra ingredients. And I'll give you an example. You know, I was participating in a canned food drive. So I was going down the canned food aisle and I was trying to find the right, you know, the healthiest vegetables that I could find. And I was starting to look and I said, well, okay, here's a jar of peas. And I flipped it over and oh my gosh, every jar of peas had added sugar to them. It's very hard to find your canned vegetables without added sugar or salt. And then I was preparing for a cooking class and I needed to get some mandarin oranges. So I was going down the canned fruit aisle and I couldn't find any fruit that didn't have added sugar. So it's really important that we just stick with fresh fruit and vegetables, even if it's the frozen kind. There's nothing wrong with the frozen variety of fresh fruits and vegetables, you know, as long as it doesn't have any extra seasoning on it. So those are perfectly fine and healthy. But getting away from the box food and just using fresh or frozen. Step three is, you know, can we get a fruit or vegetable in every snack or meal? Let's focus more on what we're putting in, and the more vegetables, the better, because it changes the way you look at your whole day. It's not about restricting your body. Now it's about fueling your body with as much good food as you can. I was talking to my brother-in-law over the weekend, and he is transitioning to this healthy lifestyle as well. And, you know, he's feeling really good and he's so proud of himself, but he went like a week without blueberries. And he said, oh my gosh, he said, I don't know what it is. He said, but my mental clarity just isn't where it was. He said, when I was eating those blueberries, he said, man, I was getting all my work done in a half a day. He said, I was just on fire. And I cut the blueberries out for a week and he can totally feel it. It's about putting all of the great things back into your body because you're going to see the benefits of that really, really quickly. And step four is using those healthy fats to fuel our brains and to keep us full. You know, throw in that avocado in your kids' smoothie because they're not even going to taste it. You know, put some coconut oil or some grass-fed butter in your coffee. Maybe try some ghee with your eggs. And if you're eating dairy and meat, then just make sure that it's a high quality. You know, we don't want to be eating meat where the animal's been harmed or they're in a feedlot or they're fed a terrible grain diet. So we want to make sure that we're eating high quality meat and dairy. And then you're going to start to find that you're actually saving money as you do this because eating out is expensive. It drives me nuts. I hate eating out because you're getting terrible food and you're having to pay a lot of money for it. And also buying processed foods is expensive too. You know, we used to spend a fortune every week on orange juices and apple juices and the box juices and the big juices. And oh man, it was so much on all that food that was really so harmful for us. So you're going to find that you're going to save a lot of money on your budget. And when you make these little changes, you notice that you feel better, your kids are going to feel better, and their brains are going to be so much stronger. And as you start doing this, you'll find that you start to get inspired and you want to read more and you want to try more and you want to learn more. And then you might experience with what that next step is. You know, so for us, this was a multi-year transition that continues to change. You know, first, for us, it was moving away from those frozen chicken nuggets and the canned vegetables. Then we started to include more fish and more salmon. We had never had that. We started to include more fish and more salmon in our diet. Then we were using extra virgin olive oil, but not necessarily the right kind, the right quality. So we transitioned to a healthier quality olive oil. And you can use our webinar, which is our fail-proof webinar, to tell you really the right types of oils to buy, because that's really important. Then we started to add coconut oil. Then we added ghee. Then we started to move away from gluten. And then we started to swap those higher quality foods like those grass-fed meats and those wild-caught fish. We moved away from those farm-raised fish and we went to wild-caught fish. And so then we started to transition to a higher fat diet, which was starting our day with those eggs and meats and all those oils that I mentioned to you, and really transitioned away from the cereals. And then in the last year, we started adding kombucha to our diet, which is a healthy probiotic drink, and we started really making that on our own. And because this has been a transition, it's been a very sustainable plan for us. You know, it wasn't, okay, let's revamp our entire lifestyle in 30 days and let's keep it that way forever. You know, it just doesn't happen because we have to, it's an evolution. So when it comes to WTF do I eat, just know that it's a transition. You know, first, it's cooking at home. And number two, if you just focus on the high quality foods in each category that you eat, then you don't have to worry about counting calories, counting carbs, and fat grams because it all just works itself out. And you feel great in the end, and your kids will soon buy into healthy eating because they too see the benefit. And speaking of my son, I have to share the follow-up story. So just this weekend, as the next game, after the debacle game, you know, this weekend he played again, and it was a Saturday game. He played at noon, and you know what? We use this to fuel him up with those healthy fats. And he did it. So he had a breakfast full of healthy fats. About an hour before his game, he had some Greek yogurt, which is loaded with protein. And he was a completely different player on the court. He was alert. He played smart. He was aggressive. He had stamina. He had energy. It's a whole different feel. So eat for your why and focus on putting the good stuff in, and then everything else seems to work itself out. So thank you so much for taking time out of your crazy busy schedule to join us on this podcast. We love having you here week after week. It is so fun for us to get to, you know, share these thoughts and ideas. It's much more than we can share in a blog or a newsletter or even by video. So thank you for being here. Stay tuned because we will be back next week with much more information, and we cannot wait to talk to you again soon. Take care.